Let's thank him. Thank you, Father, because you have answered our prayers. Thank you, King of Glory, because your word will set us on our feet today, and we will do the will of God in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for answering our prayers. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed.
Amen. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Let's take our declaration of understanding as we begin to study the word of God. One, two, let's go. Now I declare that the Lord has given me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, and I'm being filled with the knowledge of his will, in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. As a result of this, I'm walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. I am pleasing him in all respects. I'm bearing fruit in every good work, and I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. Now again, I incline my ears to his word. The word is entering my heart. It is giving me light and direction. It is healing me in every area. And it's making me more and more like the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
All right, the Lord is good. Let's take our seats. We have been looking at how God has given us a commandment concerning any land that he has given us. He said, guard it and do what? And keep it. And today, today is October 1, and it is the Independence Day holidays of Nigeria. That's the anniversary of when Nigeria as a country gained independence from the colonial rulers. So today is October 1, and it's just a good time to add something to what we have been teaching concerning the land that God has given us. We have seen that anytime God wants to meet with man, he keeps him somewhere. And that's why he created the earth, so that through the existence on this earth, man will become what he created him to be. And when he made the man, Adam, that is the first man, he planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he kept the man, and he gave him an instruction to guard it and to keep it. And we saw that when he was going to bring the people of Israel into the promised land, he did this in such a manner that they must demonstrate their willingness to possess the land. You must demonstrate your willingness to possess the land. You must demonstrate your willingness. Can I just take a moment and speak about that? Many things that God will give you in life, you can't use ease as a proof of God's will. Are you getting my point? Something is easy does not prove it is the will of God. Because broad ways are generally more than narrow ways. And that's the principle. When he said to us that broad is the road that leads to destruction, it's convenient for many to travel on that road. The one that leads to life is narrow, and the gate is straight. When he used the word straight, straight is not according to the ruler. No, it's tight. That's the other. What they mean is that it is tight. It's difficult to pass through. That is, you have to squeeze through it. That's the principle. Okay. So when they say straight like that, all right, that's what it means. Kind of tight. It's not that this road is, you can see it at the end. No. No, that's not the idea. I've seen diagrams before. They draw that one and draw that one taught to us. No. That's not the point. The point is that to go through this particular road, all right, you are going to have it a bit rough, you know. You may have to shed off anything you are carrying. They said it's easier for the camel to pass through the eye of the needle. That's how difficult it is. Okay? The road that leads to life, it can be hard. The road that leads to life can be difficult. So ease is not a sign that you are in the center of the will of God necessarily. It's not necessarily a sign. Sometimes it's just a sign that you are outside the will of God. Do you get me? When God told Jonah to go to Nineveh, you will notice that he found a boat. Do you get my point? It's not as if I didn't find a boat. I think God didn't want me to go. You don't want to go. Do you get my point? You don't want to go. When he wanted to run away from God, there was a boat there. There was a boat there. I remember the story that Billy Akoni told of how he felt at the point in time that God trapped him in Boko with poverty because he checked around, he didn't have any money. Do you understand? So while he was still there praying and complaining, God told somebody to go and give him money. And a lot of money. Assuming, I can't remember the exact figure, but assuming he needed like 20 naira, the person brought like 2,000. Yeah, it was a lot of money. That I was sitting in my office. Actually, the guy just collected his salary. I was working in a bank. Said, go and give him everything. So he packed the whole money, came to look for Brother Billy, and handed him the money. I know what God was saying in effect. No, it's not poverty I'm using to trap you. Here's money, yeah, take. If you want to go, go. When he saw the money, he understood what was going on. So now to that brother, please, I can't take the money. Can you just go back with it? That one said, no, God said I should give you. I can't disobey God. Wahala can start. I felt the Holy Spirit tell me to come and give you this money. How can you now want me to disobey God and you won't collect it? But I believe, say, okay, now. God, okay, I'm sorry. I'm not running away. God said, no, you will collect money. It became talk of war. I forgot how he finally said to the boy, he refused to take the money. He refused to take the money because God dared him. Yeah, it was a dare. I think I'm using poverty to trap you here. It's not. I can give you money if you don't want to stay. Come and start going. He learned his lesson. He relaxed his soul and settled down there and began to do the work of God. Where I'm going is I see. It's hard. It's not a sign that it's not the will of God. There are times God uses adversity to catch your attention, I know. You know, we can't teach about that in details now, but just bear it in mind. It is difficult. It's not a sign that it's not the will of God. They were coming to the promised land. It was not simple. The giants were there. However, it will always, it's called grace. Grace, Paul said, by the grace of God, I'm what? What I am. Now, how does it manifest? His power working towards me did not prove vain. Or his grace working towards me did not prove vain. But what happened? I labored. Grace doesn't mean you would not labor. It just means that the labor will bear fruit. I hope you're getting my point. He said, I labored more than them all. Paul did not become what he became because he was there relaxing all the time, waiting for grace to work. Grace doesn't work if you don't walk. I hope you're getting my point. It's just that if you walk 10 steps, grace will make you look as if you took 10,000 steps. These are things you must bear in mind. So they were going into the promised land. God left the giants there. What were the giants supposed to do? Prove to them whether they wanted the land or they didn't want it. I've never seen any businessman, all right, that succeeded in doing business that will tell you everything was so easy. There will be challenges. There will be times they will need money and it will seem as if there's no money. Do you get my point? That's why I don't like people who complain about everything. You can't be a complainer in this life. You can't be a complainer in this life. You can't be. I'm going to read my article, the one I titled Keep Trucking. If I'm going from here to, let's say, Benin, all right? That's a road I've passed, I don't know how many hundreds of times since I started living in Enugu. I've been on that road. And I ran into hold up at Onitsha Bridge. And you're on one spot for 5 hours. Many of us have been there. 5 hours, you're on one spot. You know what? We still go to where we're going. Most times, good enough, the road is smooth. It's easy. You go. But many times, the road is bad. There was a time, so after Oka, between Oka and Onitsha, you had to go right, down Teje area. You had to go inside the Valley of the Shadow of Death. Then you pass through one community where the boys are maintaining the road and they have this old bridge. That bridge that was built before the Civil War. One car at a time. You've been there. And you get there, go and wait your turn. You still go to where you are going. You won't say, because the road is bad, it's not the will of God for me to travel to Onitsha or go to Asaba or Benin. No. You still go. And after you clearing it, you know you are passing, you are coming back that way. Nobody there went to pick my family before they fixed the road. Then everybody had abandoned it. I did not know that they are going into that bush. It's God that saved me that day. I was driving my big vehicle. I went to pick my kids from and my wife, all of them. When I entered that, there was no road there. That's why I put my nose inside, not knowing that you're not supposed to enter the place. God just looked at me and said, this bank is a good boy. I love him. I was driving. My vehicle is big, all right? I was going. This road was really bad. Then, the only people passing there were these big construction vehicles. Big, those guys, you know, and they have the power. You understand? Just going. But you know what God just did for me? So, because, you know, you see some small, narrow area, mud everywhere. You can't struggle with those guys. If they are coming, you have to get off the road and get stuck in the very wet mud. So, the good Lord did something for me. He just put a big lorry, a big, in front of me. I said, Banky, follow this one. That one, he drove everybody the presence. I didn't say because of that. Now that I've gone one way, I won't come. Of course not. I got to where I was going, picked my family, and turned again. But this time around, I was very wise. I checked where everybody else was passing. I followed them. I followed that one. Now, all of this just being dramatic about that bad road did not stop me from where I was going. They talk about headsmen. Me and this tall reverend, one day we were going to preach at, what's the name of that school? There was College of Education somewhere near Onitsha. No, is it in Sugbe? Yes, I think so. Yeah, in Sugbe. On the road, we heard it, Tua. I thought somebody's car was back. Finally, for me to look. The guy had fired two shots at our vehicle. Oh, yes, it happened. I won't tell you the rest of the story, all right? Because how we finally found out what happened. So I just told Yinka was the one driving. I said, turn. So as we turned, we saw a lot of them, the headsmen. As we're trying to do our turn, one of them rushed at the vehicle. I told Yinka, knock him down. Look, kill this guy for me. I didn't say it like that, but I just said, run this guy over. There was one, the guy beside the road raised his gun. I told Yinka, don't mind him, he's not loaded. He didn't know that I grew up, my father had a double barrel like his own. So those two rounds he released, I heard. And I saw him trying to reload. So when he saw us doing the maneuver, he lifted the gun to threaten. I said, Yinka, don't mind him, he's not loaded. Because I had seen his hand go into his bag to get the next set. You have to break the gun and quickly slot them in. When he saw us turning, he pretended. I said, don't mind him. The one who rushed at the vehicle, I said, run him over. Yeah. Oh, you didn't know I've seen headsmen before? I've seen them. Oh, yes. It was me and this guy. Well, I've been to the Valley of the Shadow of Death. It's not a... we managed to turn and turn back. Now, that's not the gist. The gist was that we went and waited. We see, came back 30 minutes later on that road. You think we went home? No, we didn't go home. We turned, came, got to nice. It was a nice man we got to and stopped. Yeah. When we stopped somewhere. Finally, somebody said something that the road was clear. We went back again. Why? We're going to preach. The people waiting for us to preach didn't know that we're headsmen on the road. We got there, told the story. They were, oh God, they were waiting patiently because that caused a long delay. They were waiting patiently. We got there, preached fully, full preach. Entered our vehicle, came back the same road. Where am I going? Did the difficulty stop us from going where we're going? Please go and read my tract. Keep trucking. You can't just be whining. Look, your cousin has just been whining. The sluggers, no sleep, shouts on his bed. There's a lion in the street. If I go out, I'll be consumed. Men went out, they came back, they were not consumed. Only you will be consumed. The problem in this country is that nothing works in this country. People are working every day. Every day. People are producing every day. They are harvesting every day. They are manufacturing every day. What I'm trying to say, so is not a sign that you're in the center of God's will. Not necessarily. Sometimes God uses difficulty to call your attention. You don't just stop what you are doing, you go and pray. You don't stop what you are doing, what do you go and do? You go and pray. That's what you do. Because you are trying to enter the promised land, sometimes giants are standing there. You are in the promised land, the Ammonites will come to drive you out of the land that God gave to you. And the promised land, the Moabites will come to drive you out of the land. Difficulty, yes, it can be used to call your attention, but it's not proof. In itself, it's not proof. Sometimes it comes to test your determination. So when it comes to the promised land, that's the primary thing. You are in the promised land. Look, Jephthah had to answer those people. He said, what God has given us, we will possess it. The Ammonites came to drive them. We said, we're not going. We're not going. So God gives you a land. It can have giants. Don't ever forget it. You just have to tell the giants that you want the land more than they. They may want it out of we want it. But you want it out of you want it. They also want it because you are commanded to collect it. And having collected it, you are commanded to guard it and do what? Keep it. So personal desire is one. But the instruction of the Almighty is the second reason why you are holding on to it. I moved to Enugu 24 years ago. It was hot in this town that time. I don't know how many of you were able to be concerned about things like that 24 years ago. Then there was a lot of violence, armed robbery and stuff like that. They didn't kidnap people for money that time. They kidnapped you so that you couldn't report that your car was stolen. That was the reason why they did. They didn't kidnap you for anything. So it was, I mean, one of my colleagues, you see the guy, big guy, they put him in the boot of a 190E. I was going to buy, then he used the 300E. And they said, V-boot, you know what called V-boot? The armed robbers like it. I said, I like it too. And I said, no, I've been possessed by the Spirit for a long time. Please go and read my book, Receive the Holy Spirit. It's important. Why did I even say things like that? The only thing, the explanation is the Holy Spirit. I don't think I was a fatalist. I don't think I was a glutton for punishment. I said, God, send me to this town. They will die, I will live. You know what? Almost all of them are dead. Anyone that didn't repent is dead. It's 24 years almost since that time I'm alive. Over 20 years, I'm well. The one that kidnapped my colleague and put him in the boot of a car. God just saved him that day. They gathered all of them. Police caught all of them. I know the rest of the story. I said, people, it was enough. One day, one of my friends said that, that was one of the reasons why I left this town. I said, well, we are still here. Because one day he was walking somewhere, one young man just busting with a gun and robbed everybody. So, man, he had to leave the town. I said, well, we stayed. Because it didn't come because it was a comfortable place. The primary reason I came was because I felt. You can argue with me whether I was right or wrong, but that was my conviction. That the assignment of God for me to do now, my wife and I have just gotten married, is in this place. So I wouldn't live easy. I wouldn't live easy. And God protected me well. He did. He took good care of me. There's a story I tell once in a while that it was after it had finished happening. I think some of this, even later, that particular one was even later, I realized what happened. I was supposed to pick something somewhere just off that, you know, that college, is it, Lagos Street. Yeah, that area. Not too far from me. One of those streets near there. It was an afternoon. I went there, parked that E300E, I had it that time. I parked it there. It was a quiet afternoon. There were not many cars on the road. It was conspicuous, if you knew my car, that I had this funny customized, you know, bonnet, the nose looked funny. I parked it, I came out, looking very sharp. I was wearing one very nice, remember the brand of shirt, wearing a tie. I came down, walked to a particular shop there. So the guy came to say he wasn't around, so I was waiting for him to come. So I just stood outside, and I saw these boys coming. They were coming in 505. They were driving slowly. And one of them was walking in front. They were following him behind. And they were heading to where I was. And I could see his gun under his shirt, stuck into his belt. I didn't think anything of it. You could see the gun sticking out like this. He had a shirt over it. And I remember the way he was walking. He had this kind of gait and walking towards where I was. And the car was driving slowly. And I was standing alone in front of that place, close to my car. The car they said they loved. You know, I wasn't afraid. I didn't know enough of what was going on to be afraid. As they approached, then suddenly, one of them inside the car, two of them started calling that guy. I can't remember his name. Let's just give one name. Just call him Sunday, thank you. Started shouting, Sunday. They were not screaming it loud, but you could see the urgency. And the car just said, Sunday. They were shouting, but not screaming loud, you know. So that guy finally heard them. He turned, saw them. They gave him a signal. He ran back because he was in front. They were crawling up gently behind him. He was heading towards where I was. They ran back to the car, opened the door, jumped inside, and they zoomed up at top speed. I still kept on standing there. What they saw, I never saw. Maybe one day I'll get to heaven and say, what did those boys see? They ran away in a hurry, and the whole place was quiet. And I remained standing, waited for the fellow I was waiting for, finished my business, entered that same car, and drove away. All I remember a bit was that some people were just looking like, you know, some stares around. But I remember that boy and the gun on his belt, covered with his shirt, sticking out. You know what I think they saw? They saw my guards. The other guy saw my guards. I didn't see the guards. The guy in front didn't see the guards. And they realized that these guys are dangerous. Who are my guards? You know who they are. My brother told me the story. He saw his own guard one day in this same Meduguri. And there was tension in the air. He went in to go and pray. While he was praying, suddenly felt there was somebody in the room. And he lifted his head, turned, and saw the guy standing there. He said the guy was jet black. His skin was black. But he said, I can't describe him. He said to call him handsome would not describe him well. He said this guy, a man, said was beautiful. He was very dark, but very, very handsome. He said, the way he said it to me, he said, this guy is so handsome. To call him handsome is an insult on his appearance. He said he was beautiful. He said he was so tall that he had to bend his head to fit into my room. And he put his back to my door. He said he sealed the door tight that I didn't feel air could pass through. And he had a smile. He said his hands were crossed and he had a smile on his face. And of course, all the hair, like we say, on his body stood up. And we're like, he wanted to say, who are you? How can I say something? He just said, that's your guardian angel. He said, the kind of peace that's impossible to explain came upon him. Then he realized that, listen, leave that thing. All the rumors you are hearing, you can't come near the fellow I put in charge of you. See this guy? Ask him what he has done before. Ask him what his brother did when the Assyrians gathered around Hezekiah. I remember that was the end of that kingdom. When they take a hundred and something thousand of your soldiers and swipe them one night. So this is one of them. And this man of God looked. And the guy just smiled and said, I got this. Don't worry about it. I think that's what those boys saw that day. I never saw it. So he said, well, do I walk the valley of the shadow of death? I will fear no evil. For thou art with me. Not because I'm a fatalist. I'm a glutton for punishment. Let the worst happen. No. It says, because I know that you are with me. So then I said, everybody said, I said, no, I'm not leaving the town for anybody. I was sent here. They were not. Let's see who they are obeying. Let's see who I'm obeying. The God who is God, let him be God. Can I say it like that? Let him be God. The ones that didn't repent, they're all dead. Not only am I alive, I've since multiplied. When I'm telling this story, I don't think if Akinlelo had been born, he would have been a baby. But when I was hearing this story, he hadn't been born. So let's not even talk about Olugbenga. Let's not talk about Omena. Let's not talk about Vic. None of them had been born. And God said, they are going to be born. And you'll be their father. And none of these people will be able to hurt you. Do you follow my point? So challenges, difficulty, they are there. When we have the sense of purpose, we ride over them. Despite them, we go to where we are going. That's why I wrote the article, keep on trucking. We won't say because of challenges, we disappear away from the assignment we have. Why did God leave giants in the land? Say, let's see whether you are serious about this. That's all. Because, biblical records, not one day did an Israelite die because of a giant. Not one day. Not one day. They were tough. They were not tough enough to hinder the plan of God. The only thing that hindered God's plan in the lives of those people was them. Their unbelief. They were not able. Their refusal to try. Their being afraid of the giants. When little David came and took down Goliath, all of Israel sat inside their tents and refused to come out. If any one of them had come out, it wasn't a personal righteousness on the side of David. You must understand, what was keeping him was the purpose of God for the whole nation. The challenge was that we'll be your slaves. Think I wanted to give this over to slavery, to the Philistines at that point in time? No. If Saul had come out by himself, he would have taken down Goliath. If his armor bearer had come out, he would have taken down Goliath. Because that day, Goliath was going to go down. That was his day. In the time of their punishment, they will perish. That was the day of his judgment. But the only person that stood up was the one in whom the spirit of faith dwelt. And that was David. And he went and took down. So please, challenges are not the sign that God is not with you. No. You can have problems in life. It's not a sign of, look, I've talked about men. Why do we have problems? There are three basic reasons. One, there's ignorance. Number two, each one I'm focusing on is what? The trial of faith. Is this faith genuine? Is it genuine? What do you do with trials and tribulations and challenges? You go and pray. Don't just change because of it. You go and do what? You go and pray. You go and pray. I like to just use some things as, you know, stories. Let me not mention, but you know who I'm talking about. One is our guy who became the, yeah, Tom Reverend. You don't tell me about it now. No, the cement big man. He had challenges in his cement business. So bad. Someone decided to sell off the whole business. I'm tired of it. There's only one reason why they didn't sell. Assume he asked for $500 million. How much did he ask for? Do you remember? Okay. Yeah. But it was that same business anyway. Uh-huh. I forgot exactly how much he asked for. Okay. He asked for some money. The other guy couldn't match it. They said, Assume he asked for $50 million. He said, we'll give you $35. Only one reason he didn't take the $35 million. He said, the gist goes out that I sold for this amount, they will say I'm in distress. I know the way our bankers behave. Everybody will now come after me. The man said no. That was no other reason. Give me the money I'm asking for, you can have the business. They said, no, this is what we can pay. He said, but if I sell at that amount, the gist will go out on the street. I'm desperate. Just help me so that I won't have to be hiding. They said, no. Okay, I didn't tell them that. I'm just want adding that second side to it. They said, this is how much you want to pay. The man said, I'm not selling. A few years later, he offered to buy those same people. Yeah, he ended up becoming the richest man around. See, he thinks every challenge will just make you run away. Some women will quarrel with their husband. They pack their bag. Chris, they worry you. So you to sit and say, I'm not going anywhere. Yeah, so they go anywhere. As one guy, no, I don't know him too well. Well, I know him. I mean, I know the family. His brother is my friend. He and his wife quarrel one day. The woman packed her bag and left. And she never came back for one simple reason. The guy said, I didn't drive you out. I won't go and beg you to come back. So the same way you voluntarily took your bag and left this house, you will come back. If you have, yeah, waited for a few years, she dug it. The guy, finally, after some few years, that's how they dissolved the marriage entirely. Too stubborn. Ah, look, when you want to marry, please, one of you should be stubborn, one of you should be soft. Too stubborn people is not the will of God. And let me just tell you now, so that you know, all these quiet people, they are the stubborn ones. You see, that may not they talk, but that guy is not shifting. Leave. When you see his wife doing like, say, I'm mommy of the, my G and everything. And the guy, she first to crumble. My wife is like that too. You see two hard people in the house. Look. You are looking for trouble. And look, small aside, there's no need. You're not competing with anybody outside. It's the two of you inside. Do you get my point? Yes, no, I'm always the one saying sorry. She the speech. Continue. Is your everybody has an assignment in life. I'm only, by the way, that person must never be the man. If you are the man, you're always the one saying sorry. Two of you are crazy. There's no humility in your soul. That family, all your children will be very stubborn creatures. The whole Lori is smiling. Does she say sorry, Lord? Don't worry. We'll talk about it after. The Lord is good. How did I get to that? I don't even know. Maybe some people have problems now. I've just solved it. Yeah, exactly. Don't just run away because of trouble. Look, you know me, I can't even run away because of trouble in my house. You know why? I have angels that protect me. I have some that scare me. Their job, they give me panic attack. It's just, now that I want to say this for my wife to hear, and I should not be using it against me. If I have ever, because of anger, said I'm not sleeping in the room, I have never been able to sleep. In 25 years, never. I can face the wall, doesn't matter. Ezekiel faced the wall and his life changed. But you must say there. I have one special angel. But you say, I beg, I don't want to fight. I go to and I'm gonna sleep in the sitting room, or I go to the guest room. 1 hour after sleep, I go, I'm not kidding. Do you know? I will just my heart will almost jump out of my chest. I'm like, who is that? So I just use humility to go back to my room. Seriously. But now she'll now use it against me. I was not supposed to tell her this part, but now she has found out. Did you know before? The thing has worked. In fact, it was so bad that I didn't bother to try again. I can keep awake. I can go and be watching television. No, but don't sleep. If you sleep, is it sleep that is the problem? You know this kind of thing. You just wake up. You know, you feel as if you are in hellfire. You know that kind of thing. So I realized that there's no need. I can vex, but just sleep on that bed. Just face the wall. You know, do something. Put earphones. Be listening to messages that you're not being blessed by. Doesn't matter. Just. You will not use challenges, all right, to miss your destiny. It's very important. No, don't let it happen. Say, yeah, small trouble. No. Because every promised land has giants that must be overcome. There is no promise. If you see one promised land, there's no giant. Nothing to overcome. It's just promised land. Just promised land, you know. Olive trees, you know, grapes, fat cows, dropping milk and honey. The bees just buzz. When you're coming, they move us. I say, sir, we are making honey for you. They don't sting you. They line up. Oh boy, you are watching film. Indian one, thank you. Now film. If you enter that one, once they lock the door, you go almost die. That's not a real promised land. It's artificial, you know. Like they say, the grass is not always green. They said, if it is really, if it's always green, check it. It's astroturf. It's fake grass. You know this fake grass all over the place. That real grass, is not ever green. Sometimes it goes green, sometimes it goes weeds will come out. If you see grass as perfect, everything the same, you know, height, the same color, uniform, all of them streaming the same way, and no weed. Nothing to uproot. Go and check it. They bought that thing in a Chinese shop. It's not real. It's fake. Every promised land, we have what? Giants. Which you have to overcome. Which you have to uproot. Which you have to, you know, drive out to maintain your inheritance. We've been talking about land. Every nation, like today we went for good of the land. Many of us were there. Every nation was created by God for a purpose. But it tells the church inside there, occupy, guard it and do what? Keep it. Stay here. Like I explained earlier, enemies will come to try to drive you out. That is what they do. That's the job of enemies. Let me drive you out of your inheritance. Let me drive you out of your inheritance. It's whether you will agree or not that is the issue. Is whether you will agree or not that is the issue. That is what the enemy does all the time. Always trying to drive you out of your inheritance. That's his job. I said she opened somewhere, right? Let's read it. So let's join the spiritual celebration of today's Independence Day in our country. Habakkuk chapter 3. Let me read from verse 16. Habakkuk chapter 3. I heard, and my inward parts trembled. At the sound, my lips quivered. Decay enters my bone, and in my place I tremble. Because I must wait quietly for the day of distress, for the people to arise who will invade us. Because he had prophesied about the judgment of God. Now, verse 17 is why I'm reading this. He said, though the fig tree should not blossom, and there be no fruit in the vines, though the yield of the olive should fail, and the fields produce no food, though the flock should be cut off from the fold, and there be no cattle in the stalls, yet I will exult in the Lord. I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and he has made my feet like hinds' feet. Now remember, when he says hind, there, he's talking about deer. One of the ungulates there. So he has made my feet like hinds' feet and makes me walk on my high places. I'll stop reading there because the last portion just addressing to somebody. He said, the Lord is my strength. For that reason, what will I do? I will exalt in the Lord. Not in my circumstances, not in my environment. I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. I do this even though the fig tree doesn't blossom. Even though the fair price is out of reach for the average person. Though the yield of the olive should fail and the fields produce no food. Food became expensive, I noticed. They said that in Nigeria of today, importation of cars, down, at least when you count the money, by 85%. 85. The same as this quarter just ended, compared to the one of the previous year. Down by 85%. Yeah. For reasons we can understand. Because you have to pay twice. You're earning in Naira. You have to import the car. You have to pay twice now. And then government added one funny charge to the already high import duty. They had one special. It's like charge on payment of import duty. Value added duty. I don't know. Now everybody say, okay, I'm not buying motor again. People say they're not buying again. They say, look, one day, later. This particular brand of car, I've been seen around town. I think it's the assembly, it is in Lagos. It's one nice SUV. Yeah. It's the assembly in Lagos. That's why they are selling anything. Well, I see it every day now. I think boys don't check out and say, I beg, let me go and buy this one. It won't be cheap, but I put everything together. But the point I'm making is that, that's what I mean by there's no, say, though the flock should be cut off from the fold, and there be no cattle in the stalls. Every day I read it, you know, I read news every day. I catch it on my device. Say, Naira weakens, every day weakens. Please, those who don't go to church, how do you guys manage not to die? I don't understand. That's why pharmacy, look, for those of you who like to invest in companies, go and invest in pharmaceutical companies. People are buying more medicine. To sleep, they buy more. To not think, they buy. And the things are always being changed to tell you you need more. If you live abroad, forget that thing. The why behind that thing. They're always writing, half of science is politics and economic considerations, not truth. Just bear it in mind, half. It may be 75%, but just leave it at half. How do people manage not to, not to run mad? Because me, what I just did, whatever I read, I just hiss like that. I don't even pray about them again. I just go and sleep. I cast my burdens upon the Lord. In the midst of it, today I still ask for some dangerous things. I have to explain to the Lord, see, you will do this, Abby. I beg, do this one. Things that, it's just because I'm a Christian I can ask. If I wasn't, how would I think of such things? From where? I didn't tell myself that, things are costless. When they were cheap, could I afford it? I remember the day this man, he used to do possibility thinking. What's his name? Robert Schuller. He wanted to build a church. So they said, what's your budget? By the time I discussed with the architect, I was going to design it. He realized I didn't have the money. So he went back, came back for redesign. The architect said, okay, so what do we do this time? He told the architect how the building should be. How much are you willing to spend? He said, the guy said that, since there's no money, cost is not a limitation. That is, if he says $1 million, I don't have. If he says $10 million, I don't have. If he says $500,000, I don't have. So just to the architect, don't worry about money. Just make sure it's all made of glass. The architect looked at it like, what did you say? I want the whole church made of glass. The architect said it is impossible. So he brought out his dictionary from his pocket and told the architect, please, help me check for the meaning of impossible. The architect opened, you know, dictionary now, and he got to a particular place, and his eyes popped. What? Somebody has used scissors to cut out impossible out of the dictionary. So the guy collected his dictionary and put it back in his pocket. He said, I don't know the meaning of impossible. Go and find out how to do it. And finally, they did it. They built then the Crystal Cathedral. I think it's finally been donated to university or something now. The Catholic Church bought it, yes. All right, that's some years ago. Now, the point I'm making is that, see, the man says, since I didn't have any money, there was no need to be saying, do you follow what I'm saying? This is the amount of money. I don't have any money. Where we live now, the day the person who sold us the property called me to his office, said, I would like you, nice man, good man, trying to help out. So, Pastor Mike, what's your budget? I said, sir, I don't read my menu from the right. He said, yeah, I understand, but I just want to have an idea what you have in mind. What he didn't know is that I have something in mind, but I said, sir, I've been taught not to read my menu from the right. For those who don't know, if you want to buy food and they give you the menu, the price is on the right, the food is on the left. So they say, stop checking for the price before you decide what you want to eat. Check what you want to eat first before you check the price. So I said, sir, I don't read my menu from the right. He spent some time trying to persuade me that he needed it as a guide to see what he can help me with. I spent all the time explaining to him. Now, I know I was possessed by the Holy Spirit not to talk. Because if I did, things for spoil. So finally, okay, he said, he finally gave in, of course. He saw how stubborn I was about it. Finally, it's okay. I have this property I would like you to buy, and this is the amount. I hope you can pay this amount. It took the grace of God not to fall down. The man called an amount of money I never thought of as my possession in life. But because I had to smile now, I just smiled. Yes, sir. Okay, sir, no problem, sir. I'm like, you can't be serious. But on the surface, yes, sir. Okay, sir. Anyway, we paid him. Not immediately, because he said, look, take your time. Give me some time. And we paid. If he had read that menu from the right, the man would have just said, okay, let me see. It'll be later. Maybe I just said, no, sir, I won't read this menu from the right. So when people are reading this, they say, this has happened. Please go and read my article. Keep on trucking. That sermon. So just take a day at a time. They say, how do you eat an elephant? How do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. Just pray to God and walk with God and survive today. That's it. Tomorrow will come. You pray to God, you walk with God, survive the next day. Then one day you are going to look back and God will have done much more for you than you ever will have imagined at the beginning. I hope you're getting my point. We are learning with Habakkuk. Habakkuk said, though the fig tree should not blossom, and there be no fruit on the vines, though the yield of the olive should fail, and the fields produce no food, though the flock be cut off from the fold, and there be no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. I just read that second portion, New Living Translation. I will rejoice, not in my circumstances, but in who? The God of my salvation. Satanic strategy, we're talking about that earlier today. One of the things Satan does, is to give you cause to grumble. You know, I said something earlier today, we were speaking. Who told you were naked? He said she saw that the fruit was good for food and beautiful to the eyes. Why? Somebody told her something. Somebody focused her eyes and gave her information. So God said, who told you were naked? they had to be told. Their appearance did not change. I used to say that, you know, the glory of God, that's what I was taught. I believed it and I preached it. Until now, I don't say it anymore. That the glory of God covered them. They were not naked. After they ate the fruit, the glory departed. Then they became naked. That is not true. I used to preach it. And if you are preaching it, stop preaching it. Damn it. Drop that revelation. There's no revelation in it. Nothing changed in their lives. Physically. The Adam that was there was the Adam that was still there. The difference, just the same way Eve looked at that tree and suddenly found that it was beautiful. In the same way, they looked at themselves and discovered they were naked. Nothing changed. It is who spoke to them. That's what changed. Is that telling you what you have not achieved at this age? There are people that call you, then you know you are naked. Before they call, you're okay. Then they finish calling, then you realize you are naked. So, Uche, how now? Fine. Hey, I just want you to know we are going to the village on Saturday. Because if I is dedicating the 3-story building right next to that, your plot of land, the one you have. I don't know whether you will be coming, Sha. Just in case you can't come, just to let you know that's where we are going. And in fact, he has sent 2 cows ahead that we are going to use for the celebration. Okay? So, Uche, if you come, where will you be staying? They are trying to tell you you are naked. Then the phone call ends. You start thinking. This is fine, boy. You don't even try. You don't even build bungalow. You don't even build 1-story. You can't make 3. Then suddenly, you know, you had planned that next weekend, you and your wife want to take a drive to the village and just go and see somebody, one of your uncles, me saying, you now call uncle, say, uncle, my office is sending me to Abakiliki. You know why? Now you are naked. Suddenly, you are naked. There was nothing wrong with you before until that phone call. They come and tell you what you don't have, what you have not achieved. Tell you 1 story. Who told you you are naked? Somebody in there to tell. Let me give you the instruction of God again. You have to learn to give thanks. See, thanksgiving is a deliberate activity. It's something you do and say, I must do. Sometimes people call you, eh? When they start like that, just say, I'm not naked. Thank you. Say, what did you say? Say, I wasn't talking to you. I was talking to Satan that's using you to harass my soul. Unfortunately, Satan sometimes is your mother. Fathers are sometimes like that. Fathers sometimes, just that they are more commonly mothers, but fathers too can be like that. Sit you down and explain why where you are is not where you should be. If you just move from here to here now, things will change for you. Look at how naked you are where you are. Let me sow fig leaves for you. You think it's Adam that came up with the idea of the leaves? Somebody taught him how to sow. Somebody taught him. I will sow fig leaves for you. Go over there. You get there, you'll be more comfortable. You know, where you are now, you are naked. Thanksgiving, I said to you, is a deliberate act. You deliberately count your blessing. You deliberately itemize them. You are deliberate. Say, because let me remind us of something we talk about once in a while here. And that's the fact that when, of course, what annoyed God with the people of Israel? They murmured in the wilderness. And they were destroyed of the destroyer. Neither murmur ye. I preached a message that time. Go and look for it. It's titled Neither Murmur Ye. Now, what did I say then? Everything they murmured about was there. They didn't invent the reasons why they were complaining. Were they in the wilderness? Were they hungry? Were they thirsty? Were their children crying? There was a time the only thing they had was manna. Was it true? No, there's no catch to it. Was it true? It was true. Did they die for murmuring? Yes. God still punished them. True or not true, God punished them for that murmuring thing. Why did God do it? It's simple. It's that we need to talk about things. Is the one I did not do, you chose to focus on. Why didn't you just start by saying, man, I'm thirsty, but let's start. There were 10 plagues by which God delivered us by his mighty hand out of bondage in Egypt. The last 7 plagues did not touch us because we removed the idols from the midst of us. The last one, the Egyptians lost all their firstborns in the land, but we were spared. We came out of Egypt with much goods, gold and silver, all kinds of fine things came out of Egypt with us. Who could have done this for us? Only the Lord. And after we left Egypt, we got to the edge of the Red Sea. And we saw Moses begin to pray. And God said, Moses, go and divide the Red Sea. And he lifted his staff over the Red Sea. And the Red Sea parted. And we passed through. And then, the Egyptians thought it was a natural phenomenon. He said, let them pass through also. And God separated us from them. And when we finished crossing, the water returned and drowned the army of Egypt. Only God could have done that. Do you know, if you do what I have said, you will forget the water you don't have for a while. Yeah. You just take time out and rehearse. That's the English word. You rehearse the things that the Lord has done. You rehearse. You just sit down and rehearse the things the Lord has done. You'll be amazed. You'll be too busy. That's the point I'm making. Just sit down. Personally, I can tell you the number of times that I'd almost been accidentally killed. I can count. 21, I was a little boy, secondary school, coming from inter-house sports. Excitement. I dashed across the road in front of our house. And the bus speeding because there were a lot of passengers, they were rushing, brisk business. That young man driving that day, he went past, vroom, and I was a little boy. I could not have more than, if I was too old, 13, not more than 13. And I just ran in, I just came down from one bus to cross the road to enter into our compound. I came down and dashed across. I did not look. I just ran straight into the path of that guy. See, so quick was it that now he missed me like this. Phew! Just ran. The way God did it, I couldn't even stop. I still continued running. That guy missed me by, I'm not exaggerating, less than 1 second. I was still, my neighbors, the young people in my neighborhood, were my mates and all of that, they were upstairs. My mother was downstairs with another woman. That other woman's children were upstairs in their own house. So they could see above the fence. So they saw what happened. And they were shouting, what is wrong with you? Who was pursuing you? I was in there, shh, shh. Because the two parents down, the two mothers, didn't see. And my mother never heard about it. She never did. As a grown man, post-NYC, resident doctor in Luth, I ran into the path of a speeding bus in Yaba also. That one, I wasn't being careless. I didn't know that side of the road was dual. It was a dual carriage road, so one side going left, the other one is going right. I crossed one, forgetting that the other side had been converted because of traffic in one particular area. They adjusted, so vehicles on the other side. One side is one way, the other side doesn't go the other way. It goes both ways. So I looked only in one direction and jumped. And that downfall driver swerved with all his energy. You hear in movies, they shoot people, boom, and then they hear gunshot. It whizzed past. I sat at Ofosu on the way to Benin around 7:38 p.m. We ran into armed robbers. I didn't see them, it was night. But my driver, he stopped all of a sudden. I said, what's the problem? He said, the vehicle in front of me just stopped. There's no bad spot there. There's no reason. You know, they know the road. He said, no reason. He said, there's no checkpoint. There's no bad spot. There's no reason for that guy to stop. So he hit his brake and began to turn. As the car went 90 degrees across the road and he's turning, I heard, boom, bam! The glass right behind me shattered. That criminal, that son of the devil, he just fired at us for no... You know, when he saw the bus turn, he just fired. Bam! Then he shattered the glass. I was sitting in front. The glass right behind me. Shattered it. And whispered past behind my head. between me and the other guy sitting behind, nobody was injured. Now, you see, you know, if I keep on telling stories like this, the next 1 hour, 2 hours, I'll be here telling you stories of deliverance. I'll be too grateful to God that I won't remember that the fact that I can't change my shirt. That's what God is just saying. Be busy recounting the things that he has done. Be too busy recounting the things that he has done. So, when you look, why was he angry with those people in the wilderness? Abba, if you just spend your time, just be busy with the things I have done for you, you will see that the ones I have so-called have not done will pale. In your heart, you will forget them. You'll be so full of joy. You will come, you know, I've had things like this before. So maybe something's on my heart. I'm burdened. I want to go and pray. So, you know, you start with this prayer, Father, as if in your heart, Father God, we got to talk. Lord, we have to do that kind of attitude. But I have a Thanksgiving habit. You should start with Thanksgiving. You know, as you remember one particular one like that, by the time I finished quoting scripture and giving thanks, that particular day I told the Lord, I remember very well, I said, sorry to bother you, there's nothing. By the time I finished, I just said, Lord, sorry to bother you, actually there's nothing. And what happened? I just quoted scriptures, give thanks, quoted scriptures, give thanks. I just said, thank you, there's nothing to worry about. And I said to the Lord, I'm sorry to have bothered you, there's nothing. I did not even pray anymore. I hope you're getting my point. It's Independence Day, remember? We're talking about this country. Satan. Let's talk about Satan. Did they protest today? I said, who wanted to protest today? They did. Where? You don't even know. Anyway, when people get up, like Pastor Jackson was saying today at this Good of the Land program, when people want to protest, he says, people can protest, but my children will not be there. I will not be there. Just know whether I should join you or not. I will not come. My children will not be there. You can go. Why am I talking about it? Christians don't understand they're supposed to give leadership. Why don't we organize a day of Thanksgiving? October 1, like this. That is your job. Send a circular around. CAN is Christian Association of Nigeria. Send a circular around and tell everybody. We are going to... And you saw when Pastor Gimdi's wife led prayer today, at the Good of the Land, if you were there. He said, it's responsorial. I'm going to give thanks and you are going to say amen. So there's nothing wrong with CAN writing. You should involve people like me that will be able to write 20 pages on 20 A4, point size 12. I'm telling you, point size 12, Times New Roman, word spacing 1.5. No paragraph spacing. That's line spacing 1.5, no paragraph spacing. A minimum of 20 pages will be right. Sorry. This one I've done at 30, because I just realized that 1.5, no, 30. We will gather there, we'll write it. You know, if you come to church and you read one paragraph and the church will say, we give thanks to the Lord for his loving kindness endures forever. Do you know we'll start at 8, 12, we are still reading and saying, we give thanks to the Lord for his loving kindness endures forever. Am I saying there are no problems in the country? Of course there are. Like there is everywhere. We just sit down and start counting things. This government, no to bad governance. We say, no, leave that in first. Father, I want to thank you that there is a government. You know what they call anarchy? It's the opposite. Let me tell you, when there is no government, it means that you just be at home. Four boys from down the street can come and knock on your door, beat you, collect your food. And the only thing you can do is to fight back. And if they have more power than you, they will collect your food and there is nothing you can do about it. And they will collect your car keys and drive the car away. You have to now organize vigilante who cannot pursue a car for you. The reason why they can't drive your car away right now is because you can abuse the police from now till tomorrow. But at least you can call them. they can call the patrol down 100 kilometers, give the number of that car, and the day they finally find it, they will bring it back to you. This is Nigeria. You may have to roger the boys for the work, but there is somebody. Do you get my point? If your neighbor is disturbing you, I like a place like Enugu. If you are discharging water into my gate, I just go to Enugu Municipal Development and tell them, say, this guy, they will come and find you. That's what they call government. You don't appreciate it because it is there. So you only notice what they don't do. If it's not there, you don't know what they call anarchy. People don't know what they call anarchy. In this nation, we are so far from anarchy that we don't know what is called anarchy. There is somebody to go and report to. There is. If you're causing too much, I just go to police and go and tell them, see, this guy is caused. At least they will come and ask him questions. And because they know, my neighbor knows I can go back to the police, he will believe slightly differently next time. You know, if you put loudspeaker in front of my house, I can make you remove them. If you won't, I know where to go to. That's what they call government. Do you know the reason why you won't have something to use to buy this expensive dollar? Do you know why you have something to buy it with? I know it's 1,007 for $1. It's because you have a government and you have a currency. If you didn't have a government, you didn't have a currency, you can't buy it. To earn the dollar, you will have to. How do you do it, self? You have to export something each time you need to get 200. You have to export something. Through which port? You have to build a port. Look, we can sit down here. You can abuse the government from now to tomorrow. One of my colleagues, Pity, he is passed on now. He told me once. He was talking about when they say, cut this country. Now he was from Anambra State. So somebody from the southeast, a southerner, a Christian. He said, you cut this country. You see all that nonsense. Cut the country. You guys will tell me, say, oh God. He said, sir, don't mind these people. They don't travel. He used to work in Kebbi. Then he worked in Bauchi. Well, other Bauchi, another northern state. He said, I should leave them. I should just pardon them that they don't travel. Because we are streaming, I can't give you names, all right? He gave me the names of communities that only exist today because Nigeria is one country. He said, if there was no Nigeria, they won't exist. I said, why? He said, they are maybe a local government of predominantly Christians, circled round in the far north by Muslim communities. Why are they still there? He said, because before you do anything, they will call Nigeria Army. They will call Nigeria, are you getting my point? Nigeria Army, Nigeria Police. So that their existence depends upon the fact that those guys exist. Then Pascal told him that he went there one day. When they used to talk about that, just one small rural area. And he said, maybe, I can't remember the exact figures, but one street had over 30 churches. One road like this. Said, okay, just a road. He went there for, his apostolic work. As this guy told me that they only exist. See, this is the reason why they exist. That they would have been removed long ago. I'm trying to remember the name of the place now. But if you just tap me at there and say, what's the name of that place? I will tell you. See why we give thanks. You don't know what God knows what he's doing when he ties things together. See, I've told you before, many of the noise we are making, people don't even know. What we call coastal land, that is this sea they call it now? The right, what do you call that thing now? The portion of the sea that's under our control as a country is tied to our total landmass. Confirm, because I read it somewhere. So which means that all of you are making noise, called the country. If they did, the amount of sea that you can call yours just went down by more than half. And it affects where you can prospect for offshore oil. Which is why some time ago, some governors from northern Nigeria, they brought up that argument. That's the first time I heard it. No, that's the onshore-offshore dichotomy. The riverine people were trying to say that, no, if it's offshore, it's their own. Some people say, no, you don't understand. That amount of offshore is determined by the total land mass, which we know is contributed mostly from northern Nigeria, not the south. Oh, you didn't know that? As you know, our dot in the circle. You know what I mean by that? Our former president said something. Yeah. Fits into Niger State alone and with enough change for Akwa Ibom. Let's say the way it is. All the five southeastern states will fit into Niger State alone, landmass, and still have change space for Akwa Ibom to be talked in. Many of us are not aware. Don't be eager to use this your cotton, cotton nice scissors. If they cut some things, you won't like where it will end you. What you will lose in the process, you wouldn't believe it. I'm giving you a few reasons why you can give thanks. I'm giving you a few reasons why you can give thanks. There are many things, you'll be there. There was one particular head of state in this country some time ago. They called him all kinds of names. The most wicked, most... One day somebody sat me down and showed me the advancement that God made under him for the country. I've forgotten maybe 10% or more, I've forgotten the exact figure, of all our forex from petroleum comes from NLNG. It was the one that built it. And from his time till now, the second part was not built. Finally, the last president, Buhari, signed the, whatever it is, authorizing them to now construct the so-called Train 7. All the years, nobody built anything. You can abuse him. Oh, like I said, God will strip. I can't say many things because it'll just be recorded out there. One day somebody analyzed, military man, explained, a military man, who was in service that time, explained some things that the man did. Another one of our brothers who was living in Abuja explained another part. I joined the two together and I realized God was using this man. We are there complaining. There were some principalities and powers. Names that are above many names that were controlling this country. God used them to end their power. God said, from now on, you won't have power again. When it was done, God removed him. You know, you can sit down, at least I can, and give thanks for that man's life. And I'll be on it for 1 hour. Look, Thanksgiving, if you want to thank, you will see reason to thank. I hope you're getting my point. Yeah, if you want to thank, you will find the reasons to thank. And if you want to grumble, you will find reasons to grumble. When I was talking to one of my classmates, federal government should get out of the way so that the country can develop. I said, it's not your fault now. You became a doctor free of charge. So it's easy for you to open your mouth and be talking nonsense. You don't want to know the cost of education. If you are going to a federal university in Nigeria, every morning that you leave your house without saying, Father, I thank you, you are doing something bad. You have to pray. You have to pray. Yes. Till today, this education from federal government is still free. If you remove the cost of food, it is. You are studying law. You pay 150,000 naira tuition in a whole year. You are not even ashamed of yourself. You are saying you paid. You didn't pay anything. Let's just round it up again. That's $150 a year for 5 years to become a lawyer. Is that what? Okay, final year, one federal expenses last year, it paid less than 40,000 naira. That's $40. Let's use international listing. And you don't realize it's free. At the end of the day, you go and maybe you're a doctor. The same thing they pay. You finish. After 6 years, you finish, do house job, then you write USM Mele or PLAB. They now give you a job in UK. And I say, may Nigeria not happen to you. No, sorry, let's just be honest. If you were God, wouldn't you punish you? Just think about it. Nigeria gave you, God used Nigeria to give you a mouth to talk. And you are saying, may Nigeria not happen to you. O foolish Galatia, who has bewitched you to become so stupid like this? Look, take a moment. I'm going to give thanks. I want to give thanks. Just take a moment for this nation. Take a moment and give thanks for this nation. Just be thanking God. Say, Lord, I thank you. Because you created this country in the first place. Like testimony I give, give the Lord thanks. Say, Lord, for that, those portions in corn Muslim areas that you have used Nigeria as a nation to preserve. Lord, I want to say thank you. Please forget all the trouble. I'm not even referring to the troubles for a moment. Lord, that we have crude oil, we have natural gas, we have plenty of sun, it rains. We have enough land. Forget how we are using it for now. But we have enough land to feed more than half of Africa. We can feed ourselves if we cultivate every portion that God gave to us. We can fight a herdsmen, yes. But Lord, we have enough meat to go around. We have property right. Do you know that? We have property right. Father, thank you that you gave us a government that defends our property rights. Somebody just can't come and take my land. The way government even defends some things, I was like, are you sure it's fair? And they come to the defense. I don't want to say some things now. People say business doesn't thrive here. Go and start a food business in New York. Go and start one in Atlanta. Go and start food business in London. Let me see. But here you just buy up and stay in one junction and be selling. Nobody's disturbing you. NAFDAC is not even checking whether the oil is good or bad. You poison some of us, we left you alone. And you're telling me business does not do well. Business does not do well. Look at you. If freedom, see, some freedom is bad, but there's a lot of it. Is it not in Rwanda they said that for you to be a pastor, these are the criteria. I'm not angry with the man. In fact, one of my friends supporting the rule. But look at it here. Even false prophets open church. It's a sign of freedom. It's a sign of freedom. Give the Lord and say, Father, I thank you. Say, Father, I thank you. Thank God for the government. The other day before the election was over, Bola Tinubu said, I don't go to social media anymore. They abuse the hell out of me. He entered into power. He didn't fight anybody that abused him. You give the Lord thanks. It's called freedom. Friend of mine lives in the U.S. Now, he used to work in Nigeria. He said, one day, even under a bachelor's school, somebody abused the government. You know, he's in the paper. He bought newspaper. He saw somebody insulting the government. The guy was from Cuba. He laughed. He said, you Nigerians, you're interesting. He said, in my country, you will disappear. And we're complaining that we have military government. And we're abusing the government. And they were publishing it in the newspaper. And this Cuban doctor was laughing. He said, I can't believe what I'm seeing. He said, this is my country. He said, you will disappear. Give the Lord thanks. I need to give thanks. I need you to give the Lord thanks. I need you to give thanks. I need you to give thanks. I need you to give thanks. Say, Lord, I thank you. I'm not saying everything is perfect, but there are too many things to thank God for. Take it one and just give the Lord and say, Lord, you gave us a government. Thank you. He will say, election, where they say, all of the people you are complaining about, all of them they are cheats. They cheat each other. So leave them. But that's not the point. The point is that after 4 years, they leave. They've not been able to cheat their way not to go away. Once their tenure is over, they have to go back for election. And we have seen even a president in Nigeria removed. Even though he was running, yet he couldn't come back. We have seen governors that had the power, they couldn't come back. We have seen sitting senators that couldn't come back. And someone said, there's no democracy. Is there democracy in America? Who voted for Kamala Harris to be the presidential flag bearer? You're telling there's no democracy in Nigeria. Don't be ridiculous. Say, yeah, there's vote buying, but you have to buy the vote. So there's a vote to buy. I don't believe democracy is the best form of government, but we have it. Give the Lord thanks for it. Give the Lord thanks for it. Oh, Naira has been losing value. It's been losing value. It's true. Do you know it still has value? Our average broadcast bill for broadcasting in Nigeria in the last 10 years, I'm giving you this testimony, has not gone up by up to 20%. Am I lying? Most of them have not even reviewed. We have 25 registrations we pay every month. Some of them will be paying there for the last 6 years. As at now, I still pay the same amount of money. Oh, inflation. Hey, can I come? Hey. The areas where the price is not changing. You are buying data cheaper now than you bought it 5 years ago. Yes. And that's in Naira. If we were to calculate it in dollars, you know what that means. That's why you keep talking on the phone. You don't switch off again. I know communication is important. All the attendees are, transport cost has gone up. But you don't have to travel many times. And the cost of communication has not changed. Why don't you just look for something to thank God for? The roads are dangerous. Are you aware that 99.9% of those that travel every day get to where they are going? Safely, without any incident. I was surprised to find that people still travel at night. You know, they talk so much. The roads are dangerous. I thought everybody's in their houses by 7 o'clock. Not lie. Give the Lord thanks for it, too. One day I had a vehicle breakdown. So I just shipped my wife. The whole family were traveling together. This is just earlier on this year. Then finally, I had to come back up by myself. I was surprised. This was 11 o'clock. This Enugu on HR Express Road. That's what we did there. Buses were loading. Enugu, Enugu, Enugu. I said, what? I said, let me enter. Because I was saying, maybe I should enter a hotel and sleep in Oka. I look. What? The guy just said, see Enugu vehicle. I enter once here now. The guy loaded full. The guy begin drive. Steve was one that picked me at New Market at 11:30 p.m. Give the Lord thanks. So. I don't say we get problem, but there are too many things to thank God for. Too many things to thank God for. I found out some people, they see travel night. I said, what? They said, no, I only travel at night. So this Lagos, Enugu, when they are traveling, it's only night. They go and enter luxury bus. And they travel through the night. My people, please thank God. We should be too busy thanking God. Oh, it has become expensive, but every day you see them in every junction selling it. I don't know how many hundreds of thousands of those things we consume on a daily basis. It's expensive, but those women will sell and empty their bags. You go there at 12 o'clock, they don't have any more. What is 12 o'clock? 10. It's empty. Please, people, use the Lord and say, Lord, we are sorry that we complain. Look at the things you have done. Oh, Maiduguri flooded. Can you, what is the government doing about the dam? I called Pastor yesterday. He said it was just come from Maiduguri. I said, that's the flood. He said, no, it's gone. You won't even know it happened. I said, it is gone. It's not in the news, though. He said, they've cleaned everywhere. You won't even know it happened. He said, this fence that fell, they've rebuilt it. They are rebuilding. He said, you have to enter some places to know this flood happened of just about a week or two ago. Wow. That was a conversation we had yesterday. Give the Lord thanks. Give the Lord thanks. Give the Lord thanks. Give the Lord thanks. Just give thanks. Say, Father, I thank you. I thank you. Lord, I thank you. Lord, I thank you. Nothing works in this country. Right now, we have the largest single train refinery in the world, and it is producing, and they're exporting. Like in Canada, we say, sometimes it will just be that Nigeria will develop, they leave you behind. You'll be so busy complaining, the country will be developing and leaving you behind. Every year, new universities are licensed. Every year. Give the Lord thanks. Every year, new universities are licensed. Give thanks for people. Bishop Oyedepo turned 70 just a few days ago. Thank God for his life. And for things that this, what he represents, not just him. There are many people like that who have built excellent private universities all over this country. People building fantastic hospitals all over this country. Many of you may not know, I heard recently, one of the best hospitals in Africa. Do you know where it is right now? Inside Redemption Camp. Give the Lord thanks. My friend is the chief medical director. He's recruiting doctors from everywhere. He said, please, man of God, anytime you are traveling, stop over. Let me host you for a night. Come and have a look. When he described what he was there. Abba. Oh, this man is testifying, no? So he supplied some of the equipment. In millions of dollars. Give the Lord thanks. Nobody come and lie you that like today. Nothing happening in your country. Nothing's happening in this country. Yeah, there are so many things that we can complain about. So many things we can complain about. You can abuse every country for every day. We export it. I'm not saying it's the best, but we export health workers every day. And they're getting jobs every day. My friend is the chief medical director of one university in South Nigeria here. He will finish training people in emergency response. They get a job from there. And they fly off. They've gone to UK. They land on Saturday. Monday they work. For all the training they got here. Give the Lord thanks. Give the Lord thanks. Give the Lord thanks. Give the Lord thanks. Like I said, you just have to say, look, I want to be deliberate with thanksgiving. With all the noise, Edo election, they said, it is do or die. The governor said, at the end of the day, nobody died. Give the Lord thanks. At the end of the day, after guru, once they went for that election, finished it, one of the most peaceful Nigerians ever seen. Of course, those who lost are angry. He said, there was both by, at least, you know, by. No vote, not vote shooting, no vote stabbing. Give the Lord thanks. I remember Pastor Courage and Co. They raised prayers for that election. And God honored it. We prayed, my alumni as in a local. We prayed. Many brethren prayed all over the place. There was everywhere was quiet. Everything was quiet. By Sunday evening, they had finished collating. By Monday, we knew who the winner was. I was sitting in APC camp. They were shouting, we are saying, we are grateful. Oh, Lord. They were singing hymns in party office. I have the video. They were worshiping. The people that won. Those who lost, they squeezed their face. That is God said, that's why I won. I was like, we should go and worship. Give the Lord thanks. There's something to thank God for. There's so many things. That's the point I'm making. Some people are so busy saying election, where you call that election, there was vote buying. This is nonsense. We are not moving forward. At least we are alive. We are well. We are alive. We are well. People shout democracy, democracy. Duke, since 1999, uninterrupted. That's 25 years this year. Yeah, this may made it 25 years. All around. People have been overthrowing government. 25 years. Please thank God. Please thank God. Today's October 1st, year 2024. We, the people of God in this nation, we are saying, Lord, we thank you. 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 We are saying, Lord, we thank you for keeping this nation together because there is a purpose for it. Or there has been all kinds of troubles, but the troubles will die down. People are busy this and that. Whether you like it or not, the power generation they are generating now is one of the highest they've had in the last 10, 15 years. We can complain that some people don't have, but why should we? Let's thank God. But it's expensive, but it is there. Not everybody has, at least. Now, one group has, another group will be next. I mean, that is how to look at these things. God hates pessimists. You should be too full of thanksgiving. That creates optimism in you. Thanksgiving is supposed to create optimism. Give the Lord thanks. Give the Lord thanks. Thank God for this country. But before we go on, I want to do something. Take 2 more minutes and thank God for your own life with that same principle. Let me give you one small testimony to guide you. One of our sisters, one day she was so sad, she was depressed. And she sent me a message. She said, sir, why is God doing this to me? So what did he do? She said, you're just talking about many things, not going right with her life. She not told this story. So before I was born, my parents quarreled. So after I was born, I didn't get to see my father. So one day I came from school. I saw people in our home. And one woman was introduced to me that this is your father. So the first time she was meeting him. She was a grown girl. She was secondary school also. And the following month, he died. Now you understand why she was feeling sad. Now why would God, you know, I didn't know him all these years. 1 month after I met him, you took him away. I said, do you realize what God did? She said, what? I said, he was going to die. God brought him to introduce him to you. Suddenly she saw it from another perspective. I said, no, he was going to die. He didn't take him away from you after you got to know him. He said, this girl will wander all her life. So he woke him up and he said, come, I want to go and check on your daughter. And he gathered the whole family and came to see her and hugged her, dashed her some things and said, please, if you need anything, let me know. The following month, he was gone. I said, no, God, he didn't snatch him away. He was going to go. And he started giving thanks. That's how life is. You have to get the right perspective. Ben Carson said, his father didn't stay around. So his mother had to raise them up by herself. A small girl. She married that man when she was like 15. But later when she was writing, said, thank God he didn't stay around. Why? He said, I would never have become what I am today. He said, my father was a vain man. He would have taught us how to play, how to, you know, go to parties. He said he liked to look good. He spent all his energy on externals. So you know what God did? God took him away. Left he and his brother with a tough woman who said that when they were not passing his school, she made a prayer point. And according to him, the mother said she was going to pray when he saw their result. And he could not sleep because he knew that if she prays, God will talk to her. Because she said she wants to hear what God has to say. And the boy like, must you report this to God? So he couldn't sleep. And true to her word, next day she called and said, the Lord said, no more television. Said, I knew it. I knew God would talk. That you can only watch 2 programs a week. They screamed, 2 programs a week? Ben Carson said, this is a parent. Said, how do I get my children to stop watching TV? He's like, is that supposed to be a discussion? How did my mother do it? She said, stop. I said to you in your TV, stop. And they stopped. He said, that's all you need to tell children. Number 2 point, she said, henceforth, you will read 2 books every week, summarize and give to me. She could hardly read. Force them to read. She didn't get the topic. You can read about ant, you can read about the moon, you can read about history, anything. Then one day he loved rocks, so he started reading about rocks. And one day he came to class, and the teacher brought a piece of rock. Who knows what this is? He was used to being a poor student, so he didn't say a word. Then when he realized nobody said anything, he said, that's called an obsidian. Teacher looked like, Ben? Yes. How is it formed? He told the teacher. That was the turning point in his life. He suddenly realized that if I read, I will know. Before he was reading for the mother, now he was reading to know. Because if I know, I will shine. Began to shine in class. Let's make a long story short. One day, he became an internationally renowned neurosurgeon. And he was only 33. And he said, I'm happy my father left. Give the Lord thanks. Because God makes all things work together for good for you. God makes all things work together for good. Even at disadvantages, we work together for your good. Even disadvantages who work together for your good. What looks bad is working for your good. What looks bad is working for your good. It looks bad. The way to unlock the good in the bad is to give thanks. That's how to unlock it. Say, Lord, this is my useless past. This is my bad past. I give it to you. And I want to rejoice. I thank you. After I'm still here to give, it's only the living can praise you. So I'm alive to praise you. I thank you. I'm alive to praise you. Thank you. I know they say it's not good, but Lord, I'm alive to praise you. I will praise you for that which appears not good because I know that you make all things work together for good to them that love you and are called according to your purpose. So thank God for your own life. Thank God for failures, disappointments, losses. Yeah, you thank God for all the good things, but add those ones to it. And thank God for the good things. That He gave you food to eat. He gave you clothes to wear. He gave you friends. He gave you, most importantly, the knowledge of Him. Are you not the one sitting down here hearing the words of Jesus Christ? You are here hearing the words of Jesus Christ. You are here hearing the words of Jesus. Ah, say, Lord, that my ears can hear this. That in alone is enough for thanksgiving. That my heart can receive this truth. That, Lord, you are speaking to me. That I can say I am a child of God. Jesus said, rejoice that your names are recorded in heaven. There's enough cause for rejoicing. These are people who just manifested spiritual power. But he said, don't rejoice because demons are subject to you in my name. Rejoice that your names are recorded in heaven. No matter what you have been through, say, Lord, I thank you. My name is recorded in heaven. Jesus, you have made me a child of God. I am a child of God. The Heavenly Father knows me, He loves me, and He has called me His own. That alone is enough cause for thanksgiving. Lord, I thank you. I thank you that you give me life and you give me a purpose. That you forgive my sins by the blood of Jesus Christ. That in my life all things are passed away. And everything has become new. Say, Lord, I say thank you. Lord, I'm grateful. I'm grateful. I am grateful. Say, Lord, I am grateful. Now, one last thing. Let's begin to prophesy over this nation. We have been praying to God for it all these years and all these months and all the weeks. Today, I just want to issue forth a word of prophecy. That is declaration concerning Nigeria. Please, if you are not a Nigerian, pardon us. But you can apply this principle to whatever country you are in. Just that today is October 1, Nigeria's Independence Day. So we're just, you know, using the opportunity to thank the Lord and to prophesy good over this land. I want us to begin to prophesy. Say, in the name of Jesus. Begin to prophesy. Use your own words, but I'll guide you. Say, concern. Yeah, please, can you rise to your feet? I'll begin to give the Lord thanks and prophesy. I begin to say to Nigeria, it will be well with you. It will be well with you. Say, Nigeria, it will be well with you. Say, Nigeria, I have entreated the Lord for your sake. Therefore, it will go well with you. Peace will be within your walls. Prosperity be within your palaces. Say it in the name of Jesus. Peace will be within your walls, O Nigeria. Because of the people of God, I will now say, prosperity will be within your palaces. It shall be well with those who travel on you, on your roads, who travel by day or by night. Peace will reign. Say, peace will reign. Say, peace will be prophesy over the nation. Prophesy, say, you will serve the purpose of God. The children of God will have comfort in you. They will have prosperity in you. They will have freedom in you to advance the gospel. Say, Nigeria, I speak to you. You will do me well. You will do the church of God well. You will prosper for the children of God's sake. I prophesy the blessing of God upon you. The Lord bless you, Nigeria. The Lord will keep you. For the sake of the people of God, I say, the Lord will make His face shine upon you. And He will be gracious unto you. The Lord will lift up His countenance upon you, Nigeria. And the Lord will give you peace. In every corner, the Lord will give you peace. Say, in this nation, Jesus will reign. Prophesy over Nigeria. Say, we say, Jesus will reign. From the north to the south, Jesus will reign. From the east to the west, Jesus will reign. Say, the gospel of Jesus will prosper. The gospel of my Lord Jesus Christ in this country will prosper. Say, the gospel will prosper. Say, people will come here to know the Lord. Prophesy like that. They will come to this nation to learn the truth of the Almighty. The gospel of Jesus will be taught from this land. From here, we will export the gospel all over the country. All over the world. Yes, all over the world. No, it's not only entertainment. These are the physical things we see. Behind spiritual things have been exported. Say, Nigeria, peace and prosperity. Shalom upon you. Shalom upon you. Shalom upon you. Shalom upon you. Say to Nigeria, shalom upon you. Say to Nigeria, peace, peace, peace. Prophesy concerning the government. You will hear the word of God. You will hear the wisdom of the Most High. You will do the will of God. In the name of Jesus, we speak to the president. You are a servant of God to do his people good. We decree in the name of Jesus, whatever we shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever we shall lose on earth shall be loose in heaven. We bind you as you have taken an oath of office to do the will of God. You will do nothing but the counsel of God. You will do nothing but the counsel of God. Say in the name of Jesus, you will do nothing but the counsel of God. Your ears will be deaf to bad counsel. The friends of Rehoboam will not speak to you. The friends of Rehoboam will not be able to speak to you. Sound counsel. Sound counsel. Sound counsel. It is your portion. You will hear it. You will hear it. Say to Nigeria, your resources will advance the gospel. And the laws of God will support that advance. See, let me remind you of this testimony. It will help your faith to prophesy. You know, Paelty, one day, he spoke long beforehand. He was prophesying. He said he sees a time that the federal government of Nigeria will pay young people to go and preach the gospel. It's not crazy. Please, if a prophet talks, just be silent. You don't know what to say. Isn't that crazy? How in a secular country, in which some people are even claiming that it's an Islamic country, whatever, the federal government will pay. But the word of the Lord had gone forth. So the spirit went out to gather. There was a war, a civil war, which, by the way, it ended. And we don't see bombs going off in strange places. Some go to places like Angola. Years later, people will still go to the farm. And their legs are cut off by mines that were left behind. But in our country, it ended. And that was the end of the war. And then the federal government, go on, said they needed to reconcile people. So it said everybody, if you finish school, then included NCE, but now it reduced it to people under 30. That was Buhari then, first government, reduced it to people under 30. And you have to have a first degree, BSc or HND. They removed those who had NC. Before NC, everybody, even if you are 50 years old, you will go and serve. So they posted people all over the country. I met one man. He was among the first set. He came from the north to the east. His people were begging him not to go. He's still here. Yeah. And when I met him a few years ago, he was still here. He came and he never left. How do you think he can't go to Enugu? He told Reverend. NYC. He said, posting people everywhere and paying them monthly allowance. And the Christians amongst them went everywhere preaching the gospel. And the word of the Lord, which is spoke by a servant, was fulfilled. You see, God, you may see a big thing. There's a still small voice behind that's working. So prophesy to Nigeria. Say your resources will advance the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Just say it like that. There's a reason why God gave this country a lot. People don't know the kind of wealth God gave this nation. Say your resources will advance the gospel of God. It will advance the gospel of God. The gospel of Jesus. Say to Nigeria. I want you to, let's read some blessings. Open to Psalm 115. I want us to read verse 14 and verse 15. And you are going to use it to bless this country. When it says children here, it's talking about the citizens, especially the children of God within the nation. That's what we're going to apply. Are you there? Let's use New Living Translation. You are going to read Psalm 115. Psalm 115. We are reading verses 14 and 15. Yes. Just about four lines, so it's not much. Are you there? Yes, let's read it together. One, two, let's go. May the Lord richly bless both you and your children. May you be blessed by the Lord who made heaven and earth. Now use those words to bless this country. You are invoking the Lord's blessing upon the land that he gave to you. You said, guard it and do what? And keep it. Guard it and keep it. So he said, Nigeria, may the Lord bless you richly. You and the children of God within you, those who love you, they will be blessed. May you be blessed by the Lord who made heaven and earth, who controls the sun and the moon, who controls the rain and the wind. Be blessed of the Lord. Receive increase in the name of Jesus. Let's put the blessing of Joseph upon this country. Say, the Almighty bless you with the blessings of rain from above. I want to say amen to that.
Amen.
I want to put the blessing that Jacob, you know, put upon Joseph. I want to place it upon this nation. It's our right. We can do it. It's our country. He said, entreat the Lord for his sake. The Almighty God bless you with the blessings of rain from above.
Amen.
And of deep waters from beneath the ground.
Amen.
Blessings of many cattle and children.
Amen.
Blessings of grain and flowers.
Amen.
Blessings of ancient mountains.
Amen.
Delightful things from everlasting hills.
Amen.
Said Nigeria, may these blessings rest upon your head.
Amen.
And on the brow of one set apart for the special purpose of God.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The purpose of God will prosper by your hands.
Amen.
This country, we are not yielding. See, we are not tearing it apart.
Yes, sir.
We are collecting it complete.
Amen.
No matter who you are, I don't care the religion you profess or who you think you are as a traditional ruler. You will do the will of God.
Amen.
You will do the will of the Almighty.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I say you will do the will of God.
Amen.
And you will do the will of the Almighty.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Now Nigeria, listen to this. And everybody listen. Everyone who has prayed for you today, Nigeria, I'm talking to you. By the power of the Almighty, you will be good to that person.
Amen.
I command the blessing of God in this nation.
Amen.
To bear fruit for you, the child of God.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Sow in that land.
Amen.
And you will reap a hundredfold.
Amen.
I command that blessing upon you today.
Amen.
I said, sow in this land.
Amen.
And you will reap a hundredfold.
Amen.
If you plant corn, you will prosper.
Amen.
If you farm chicks, you will prosper.
Amen.
If you are constructing houses, you will prosper.
Amen.
Listen, if you are teaching children, you will prosper.
Amen.
If you are preaching the gospel from here, that gospel will prosper.
Amen.
You will have satisfaction in it.
Amen.
If you are designing clothes, you will prosper.
Amen.
If you are writing software from this land, you will prosper.
Amen.
If you are flying planes, you will prosper.
Amen.
If you are driving cars, you will prosper.
Amen.
If you are riding a bicycle, you will prosper. If you are manufacturing, you will prosper.
Amen.
See, the forex will serve you.
Amen.
Petroleum will serve you.
Amen.
Wind energy will serve you.
Amen.
Solar energy will serve you.
Amen.
Coal energy will serve you.
Amen.
Natural gas will serve you.
Amen.
Nuclear energy will serve you.
Amen.
See, these doctors, they will work for you.
Amen.
They will work for you.
Amen.
You will be kept in health, you yourself.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Now listen to this, those of you who love this nation. God will make all grace abound towards you.
Amen.
You will have all sufficiency in all things.
Amen.
And you are bound to every good work.
Amen.
If something is no longer being imported, you will manufacture it.
Amen.
Whatever you place your hands to do, I've mentioned a number of things people do, but there are many more I didn't mention. Whatever you place your hands to do, it will prosper.
Amen.
The wisdom, the wisdom to do right, that is to do that which you are doing and do it correctly. That wisdom, may the Lord release it to you today.
Amen.
The wisdom of Bezalel is your portion.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The Lord will teach your hands to war.
Amen.
He will put skill in your hands.
Amen.
He will put wisdom in your heart.
Amen.
And that wisdom will come out upon your lips.
Amen.
If you train business people to sell, their sales will triple.
Amen.
See, the wisdom of Joseph and the wisdom of Daniel. Daniel was said to be able to solve difficult problems. Things that are twisted, Daniel will unravel them. His wisdom from above is not natural wisdom. It's not the food he ate. Some say it's the diet. It's not diet, nothing. It's not diet. It's not diet. You gotta eat rubbish. Like my friends said, I didn't fight this hard to get to the top of the food chain. And I'll be eating grass. It's not the food he ate. It's the wisdom that God gave him. And I'm praying for you today. Receive your own wisdom.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
See, you know what happened? You will have the reputation.
Amen.
They say, it's hard. Go and meet her. It's hard. Go and meet him.
Amen.
It's hard. This is the person you will meet.
Amen.
God will make all grace abound towards you.
Amen.
You will have wisdom to solve all problems.
Amen.
You will have all sufficiency in all things.
Amen.
Listen. Those children that everybody is for excuse for running up and down. Let me tell you, your children will possess the land.
Amen.
Your children will possess the land.
Amen.
Whatever industry you are working in now, maybe you're a worker there, you're a contractor there, your children will control it.
Amen.
You're an university lecturer, your children will own universities.
Amen.
You're an architect, your children will build skyscrapers.
Amen.
And own them. Are you getting my point?
Yes, sir.
Your children will possess the land.
Amen.
They will possess the gates of their enemies.
Amen.
It shall come to pass. Your children will pick any country they want to go if they want any citizenship. In fact, their signature will give other people.
Amen.
Listen to what will happen to your children. I'm focusing on you. You will be blessed too. But the children will run up and down because of. Let's secure their future. I like the testimony you gave about that our brother. The day of immunization, he carries the children to his room and immunizes them with the word of God. And this guy is a medical doctor. He said, I don't need the injection. I have it in my mouth. That's why we are immunizing, we are blessing your children now. So after today, you won't worry about them. So what happened to them? Say, they are going to possess the land now. They will possess the gates of their enemies. Let me say to you, missionaries will be going abroad and your children will give them $1 million a month.
Amen.
Amen.
The children that say, see, let me tell you what will happen to those children. Eh? They will be senators.
Amen.
They will be rulers in this land.
Amen.
They will be policy makers.
Amen.
There will be people that government will call before they make policies. You think you just get up in the morning? See, if you check it, the time subsidy is gone. It's because Dangote completed his refinery. You think we're not thinking? They gauge the whole thing and say, okay, when will you finish? Once you finish, you remove subsidy. That's not a joke. You think these guys are stupid? They don't get jam now. They don't get jam. Which government wants everybody to scatter under their watch? Your children will possess the land.
Amen.
They will possess the gates of their enemies.
Amen.
And wherever they go, they will prosper.
Amen.
The angels of God will watch over them.
Amen.
You will not have cause for fear.
Amen.
Over them, you have no cause for anxiety.
Amen.
Please, can you do me a favor? If you have children already, as soon as you get them, grab them one by one. Put a hand upon them and repeat as many of these blessings as you can remember. Or you can wait, if you forget, the day the message is released, all right? Down, as you come and sit down here. Put your hand as I'm talking. Just be saying amen. Just repeat it. Put a hand on these children. No evil will befall them.
Amen.
Their angels have a special command from God to protect them from all evil.
Amen.
If they are alone at midnight, God will watch over them.
Amen.
Don't worry about them. None of your children will smoke drugs.
Amen.
None, not one.
Amen.
Not what I want to say, it doesn't sound nice. God will kill drug dealers
Amen.
To preserve them.
Amen.
That one trying to trick them will go blind.
Amen.
The one that wants to share with them will take overdose.
Amen.
Your children will be preserved.
Amen.
They will be preserved.
Amen.
You will never visit a rehabilitation center because of your children.
Amen.
Give the Lord thanks. Let's go home. Say, Father, we thank you. Say, Father, we thank you. Say, Lord, we thank you. Say, Lord, we thank you. Just say, Father, we thank you.
We give you glory, Lord, as we honor you. We give you glory, Lord, as we honor you. You are wonderful. You are worthy, oh Lord. You are wonderful. You are worthy, oh Lord.
Let's take it in from the beginning.
We give you glory, Lord. As we honor you, we give you glory, Lord. As we honor you, you are wonderful, you are worthy, oh Lord. You are wonderful, you are worthy,
you are wonderful. Time. Thank you. In the name of Jesus, we have prayed.
Amen.
If you are coming to today for the first time, we encourage you to join us again on Saturday. And remember, those who have time, we discuss Bible here informally on Fridays. You can join us also, okay? This is Kingdom World Ministries. Remember, all our messages are available. You can download them from our website. They're all on the podcast also. Try and follow us on podcast. Otherwise, if you want, you can come meet Reverend Felix there. Let him copy all the messages. Copying them is free of charge. Nobody charges you anything. Is that okay? If you have not downloaded the Kingdom World Radio app and you have an Android phone, see wickedness. See you and wickedness. Look at you and wickedness. Eh? Please, go to the Play Store and download it. One advantage that if you are not here, this message today was streamed live and you can easily just connect from there. Is that okay? All right, let's share the grace in fellowship.
Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Surely we have passed out of death and we have passed into life. We have passed out of darkness into the light of Christ. We have passed out from under the curse into the blessing. All things have passed away in our lives. We are now spirit, the spirit of Christ. We live above sin and walk above the devil because we are seated high above with Christ. This is our season of the demonstration of the Spirit and of the power of God. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Now, I wanted to bless a few people. Tell them, this nation will be good for you in the name of Jesus. Four people. You have three to go. This nation will be good for you in the name of Jesus. Cheer up, brethren. God bless you.